Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So with the kind permission of my senior godbrothers and the assembled devotees, I'll attempt to say a few words, even though unqualified. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, Text 61. The chapter is entitled The Payavrata Process of Worship. Ta eva niyama shakshat. Ta eva chaya motama. Tapo danam vratam yagyo. Yena tusyat yad hokshaja. That is. Eva. Indeed. Niyama, all regulative principles. Sakshat, directly. Te, that is. Eva, indeed. Cha, also. Yama Uttama, the best process of controlling the senses. Tapaha, austerities. Danam, charity. Vratam, observing vows. Yagya, sacrifice. Yena, by which process. Tushyate, is very pleased. Adhoksaja, the Supreme Lord, who is not perceived by material senses. Translation. This is Kashyapa Muni speaking to his wife Aditi. This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Adhoksaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. Purport, the Supreme Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 1866, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshai Shami Ma Suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his demand, no good result will come from any of his actions. Dharma svanustita pungshang. Visvaksena katasuya notpadayad yadiratin shrama eva hi kevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:28. If one is not interested in satisfying Lord Vishnu, Vasudeva, all his so-called auspicious activities are fruitless. Mogasha mogakarmano mogagyana vichetasa. Because he is bewildered, he is baffled in his hopes, baffled in his activities, and baffled in his knowledge. In this regard, Srila Viswanath Chakravarti remarks, Na pumshakam anapumsha kinet jadi naikatvam. One cannot equate the potent and the impotent. Among modern Mayavadis, it has become fashionable to say that whatever one does or whatever path one follows is all right. But these are all foolish statements. Here it is forcefully affirmed that this is the only method for success in life. Ishwara tarpanam vina sarvam eva vipalam. Unless Lord Vishnu is satisfied, all of one's pious activities, ritualistic ceremonies, and yajnas are simply for show and have no value. Unfortunately, foolish people do not know the secret of success. Nate vidu svarta gating hi Vishnum. They do not know that real self-interest ends in pleasing Lord Vishnu. Dharmatma Prabhu requested me to also read the last text in the chapter, which has no purport. Tasmad etad vratam badre prayata shadayachara Bhagavan paritushtaste varanasu vidasyati. Translation. Therefore, my dear gentle lady, follow this ritualistic vow, strictly observing the regulative principles. By this process, the Supreme Person will very soon be pleased with you and will satisfy all your desires. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Executing the Payavrata Process of Worship. So again, the verses. Ta eva niyama sakshat, ta eva cha yadutama, tapodanam vratam yagyo, yena tush yatyad hoksaja. This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Adhoksaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. Text 62. Tasmad etad vratam badre prayata shadayachara bhagavan paritushtaste varanashu vidasyati. Therefore, my dear gentle lady, follow this ritualistic vow, strictly observing the regulative principles. By this process, the Supreme Person will very soon be pleased with you and will satisfy all your desires. So, the background to this chapter, one of these instructions that Kashyapa is giving to his wife, Aditi, is that the demigods had been defeated by Bali Maharaj and the demons. Bali Maharaj was very attentive in worship of the Brahmanas and his spiritual master Sukracharya, even though Sukracharya cannot be considered a bona fide spiritual master. He was a guru coming in family line, I guess, seminal succession. Sukra means semina. So he was a ritualistic guru who performed varieties of sacrifices and rituals for the benefit of his disciples who were demons. But because Bali Maharaj and the demons were very attentive and submissive in this worship and practice, they became very powerful, and they were able to defeat the demigods, dethrone King Indra. Indra, of course, is a son of Aditi. Aditi is the mother of the demigods, and Kashyapa is the father of demons and demigods. From Aditi, the demigods appeared, and from Diti, demons like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, others, I guess.
That's enough.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, that, as we know, there's always enmity between demigods and demons, and sometimes the demons come out successful. In the sixth chapter, in sixth canto, there's a purport. It's in the story of Vritrasura. So there's a purport where Srila Prabhupada says that the demigods are sakama devotees. They have material desires, and therefore they do get difficulties because of that. So harassment from demons is the main difficulty, no doubt. But that's the nature of the material world. One has material desires and is always endeavoring to satisfy his material desires. He'll get all kinds of difficulties. So anyway, demigods also do get difficulties, but because they're devotees, when they're in difficulty, they always take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being merciful, reciprocates with them and helps them out. So in so many cases, we see the Lord incarnating to help the demigods overcome the demons, which also eventually happens in this Leela as well, as a result of the Aditi's following this Pyavrata process of worship according to her husband's instructions. So yes, Aditi was very disturbed that her sons were driven out from their abodes as the demigods, and that's why she approached her husband Kashyapa for help and guidance so that they could be reestablished in their positions. Kashyapa, he was a very detached sadhu, and he did observe that his wife was very, overly attached. Of course, one could say perhaps he had some also inclination to be merciful to the demons, since having demonic sons as well. But anyway, that's not really the point here. He was a very detached personality, but still he is very kind to his good wife, and of course her children, being his children as well. And therefore he gave her instructions in this chapter how to attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord by following this Pyavrata process of worship, which entailed fasting and taking only milk for 12 days. But not only that, worshiping the Lord, feeding the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, worshipping them. In other words, it's a process of bhakti yoga. And she followed it very faithfully. And as a result, the Lord appeared as her son, Vamana, also known as Aditi Nandan, son of Aditi, Aditi Dukaha, one who drives away the sorrow of Aditi, or also known as Indranuja, the younger brother of Indra. And as we know, Bali Maharaj was very inclined to the Brahmins, to give charity to the Brahmins, so the Lord, as Vamana, took the form of a small, charming Brahmin boy and went before Bali Maharaj to beg alms. And Bali Maharaj promised him to give whatever he desired. This is the proper mentality for the Kshatriyas, to be submissive to the Brahmanas, worship them, take instruction from them, always give in charity to them. Just as we see in the fourth canto, it's described how the four Kumaras visited Maharaj Prithu and how he received them very, very nicely, washed their lotus feet, offered worship, but most importantly, listened to their instructions very attentively and applied those instructions in his service of ruling over the earth, which created a wonderfully auspicious atmosphere. Prior to that, earth had been ruled by King Vena, who was an atheist. I think somewhere Prabhupada said it is even worse than Kamsa. Kamsa was an opponent of Krishna, but was always thinking of Krishna. Well, so he's kind of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, ultimately, he was delivered. But Vena was completely disinterested in the Lord. He was a complete atheist. And he declared to the citizen, anyway, the king is the supreme personality and he represents the supreme being. Therefore, one should simply worship the king. No need to bother worshiping the Brahmins or the demigods. But as a result, chaos ensued. All kinds of rogues and thieves flourished. So the Brahmins, they gathered and they issued a warning, rectify yourself, follow the instructions of the Shastra, the Guru Sadhu Shastra, respect the Brahmin. In this way, your kingdom will flourish. But he completely ignored their good instruction, and eventually, being very powerful and potent Brahmins, they cursed him to die. He left his body. But the situation got worse. More and more rogues and thieves flourished because there was no king to suppress them. Therefore, they prayed to the Supreme Lord, and they also performed some kind of ritual with his body, huh? Churning it. Yeah, churning it. And first a black personality came out, huh? Bohuco, which is his...
living in New York.
His with sinful reactions personified. They told him, sit down, isn't it? Is that what they told him? Nishada, sit down. Is that right? And from him, the Nishada race of the low-born, sinful race came. I turned more and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord appeared as a Shaktavesh avatar, Prithu Maharaj, along with his consort Archie. It's interesting that and the artists were drawing the paintings, making the paintings for all Srila Prabhupada's book. The Prabhupada was very scrutinizing, isn't it, with these paintings. He wanted them to be just right. they painted a picture of Prithu Maharaj with a halo, and Prabhupada responded, no halo. He's a Shaktavesh avatar. Halo you put on a Vishnu Tattva, but not on the Shaktavesh avatars. They're empowered jivas. So the jiva is empowered to perform a particular function as if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performing himself. He's empowered to that degree. So anyway, some Shaktavesh avatars, they have a mood of being the Supreme Lord, and others have a mood of being a devotee or servant of the Lord. Rishabhdev, Kapila, they have a mood of that they're a Supreme Lord. I mean, Kapila would say, my devotees worship my deities in my temples, and they speak from that platform. But probably most of the Shaktavesh avatars are displaying the mood of a devotee, like Narada Muni, for example, and Prithu Maharaj also. So the earth was so disturbed by the misrule of King Vena that she was withholding the seeds of the grains and vegetables within her surface, and therefore the citizens didn't have sufficient foodstuff. So Prithu Maharaj actually summoned Bhumi Devi in the form of a cow, and he told her, you have to, you know, follow my instructions and produce sufficient foodstuffs. She at first declined, but then she said, you know, you shouldn't threaten a woman like this. But he said, you have to follow my instruction. If you don't, I will kill you. But if you follow, I'll give you all protection. So she submitted, and as a result, due to his worship also, of course, primarily due to his worship of the Supreme Lord, isn't he given example as an example of one who attained perfection by Archanam? No? Prithu Maharaj in the nectar of, in the nectar of devotion. The examples are given of different devotees who attain perfection by following one or other of the different process: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vandanam, Padasevanam, Dasyare, Pujana, Sakijana, Atmani Vedanam, Pujana. Prithu Maharaj's puja, his archana, was so perfect that it's considered. Or he's given as an example of one who attained perfection in that way. Of course, Bali Maharaj is given as an example of one who attained perfection by Atmanivedanam, full surrender of everything to the Lord. His body, his mind, all his possessions, everything ultimately he surrendered at the lotus feet of Vamanadev. So, anyhow, Prithu Maharaj rectified the situation on the earth. So it's very important to follow the instructions of the Supreme Lord, as we find in the Shastra and as we hear through Parampara. That is the process of Bhakti Yoga, which Lord Krishna has explained in detail in the Bhagavad Gita, and we also find in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam very detailed instruction given by Krishna. Was that Uddhava Gita? Is it called Uddhava Gita? Mm-hmm. So these instructions are all completely focused on Bhakti Yoga. And we find that Kasyapa here also is giving the same kind of detailed instruction. Now, the way Bhakti Yoga is practiced in different ages may vary to some extent. As for example, Narada Muni gave Dhruva Maharaj the instruction to go, when Dhruva was insisting, the instruction to go to the forest and perform austerities, but principally to chant the names of the Lord, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and to make a deity of the Lord from elements that he could find in the forest, stone, wood, etc., and worship the Lord. Mm. And of course, he was performing very, very severe austerities. So here also, Aditi is being advised to follow austerities in this Payavrata process, but the principal ingredients are actually the chanting of the names of the Lord and the worship of the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas. And as a result, she gets the mercy of the Lord. So in this particular age, of course, we are not required to specifically follow this process, although sometimes devotees may say they want to follow. I just had a example somewhere recently. It was in Thailand, I think. One of the grihastha couple came to me. They have no child. And the lady said, please give some blessings. I want to follow this Payavrata process of worship in the hope of getting a child. Anyway, I don't know. It's just a few days ago. Anyhow, Hare Krishna. May Krishna bestow her blessings on her. Whether he gives her a child or not, that is up to the Lord. But she was wanting to try to please the Lord. But the main thing, of course, I told, chant the holy names of the Lord. This is the most important thing to do. And whether you have child or not, ultimately it is up to Krishna. So Aditi, of course, followed the process very nicely. She got full blessings of her husband, and she had the greatest success obtaining the personality of Godhead as her child. Interesting, isn't it? I think in the 10th canto, in the Krishna book, Prabhupada mentions that, isn't it? Devaki and Vasudev, they had previously worshipped the Lord to obtain the Lord as their son when they were Prishni and Sutapa. And the Lord appeared before them and he said, I'll appear three times as your son. So he appeared to them as Prishni Garba, and then it is mentioned they again became Aditi and Kashyapa, and he appeared as Vamana Dev, and then they became Vasudev and Devaki, and he appeared as Krishna. Mm-hmm. So very, very exalted devotees. And the Lord answered her prayers, and became Vamanadeva and thus tricked Bali Maharaj and enabled the demigods to return to their abode. And Bali Maharaj, of course, got such mercy. You know, he was transformed into a great devotee, a very celebrated devotee. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada criticizes the Mayavadis, as he does constantly, because that is a great offense to Krishna. Mayavadi considers everything Maya, even the form of the Lord. Some impersonalists are Brahmavadis, and they worship deities, they respect the deity, but with a view to attaining Brahman. Prabhupada, I believe when he first came to New York, he didn't have it, his own Gita. He had he used translations of Dr. Radhakrishnan, not his commentaries, his translation, just to help him when giving the classes, to see how he had translated Sanskrit into English. But he criticized Dr. Radhakrishnan very severely when he's commenting on Sarvandharman Pratyaja Mahami Kam Saranam Braja. Krishna said, just surrender unto me. And Dr. Radhakrishnan comments, it is not unto the person Krishna that we should surrender, but unto the unborn within Krishna. So Prabhupada, of course, said, where does Krishna say that? It's completely nonsense. Everywhere, manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yajimam namaskar. Me, me, me. Krishna is saying again and again, worship me, offer your homage to me, become my devotee. Huh? There's a also interesting, I was reading somewhere, Prabhupada had gone to some Gita conference in the very early days in India. Somewhere in, I think, Maharashtra. Maybe something organized by Vinod Bhave or some kind of sadhu of those days. But anyway, it was held in a Gita Mandir. And in the Gita Mandir, the altar, on the altar, was just a flame. The Prophet was furious. What is this? Gita Mandir, is no Krishna? Huh? And he didn't want to go and listen to all those nonsense Mayavadis. And he didn't like to, after that, he didn't go to conferences like that. Waste of time, he considered. As Prabhupada said here, they say whatever path one follows is all right. That is a reference probably to Ramakrishna or Vivekananda's statement, jato mat tato pat. As many different, you know, ideas or opinions or paths there are, you know, you can follow and you will reach the same goal. Brahman. No. So whether they are worshipping the deity or they're, you know, trying to not worship a deity or just merge, or any other path that you follow, you know, Ramakrishna, to show in practice, he for some time followed the Vaishnava. He was a Shakta, he was a worshipper of Kali. But for some time he followed the Vaishnav practices, then for some time Christian practices. And then again he wanted to follow Muslim traditions, and I think he was living in a big temple in Calcutta. And he asked, bring me beef. But the trustees of the temple, being Hindus, say, it's too much, no, we'll not do. So this is a kind of bogus preaching that Srila Prabhupada opposed so severely, so strongly. In the West, we might sometime have wondered why Prabhupada, you know, always criticizing the impersonalists and Maya, especially the Mayavadis, so strongly. In India, we can understand why, because it's so widespread. But it's also, you know, expanded into the Western world. And Vaishnavacharyas, they're always stressing so strongly the importance of the personal worship of the Lord, of the personal form of the Lord, and worship and respect of the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are very, very dear to Krishna. When Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha, being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, trying to get relief. And at first he had asked Shiva, then Brahma, to protect him. They said, "We can't help you. Go to Lord Vishnu." Even Lord Vishnu said, "I cannot help you. You see, I am in the heart of my devotee. My devotee is in my heart. I do not know anyone else but my devotee. My devotees do not know anyone else but me. I cannot help you," he said. "You go and beg forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. If he forgives you, then you'll be relieved." He followed the instruction and fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj and begged forgiveness. Ambarish Maharaj, being a very humble Vaishnava, he said, "Please forgive me." In fact, he had been fasting the whole time since Durvasa Muni had left. That was 1 year, I think. So he is very humble devotee, and he was very willing to, you know, forgive Durvasa, apologize to Durvasa, and as a result, Durvasa was relieved from that offense, and the Sudarshan Chakra didn't follow him. Same thing happened with the Gopala Chapala. He tried to discredit Srivas Thakur by placing the articles for worship of Mother Durga outside his door at night, wine, other items. When Srivas came out in the morning and saw it, he called all the gentlemen of the area, "You see what I'm doing?" Very humbly. But of course they didn't believe it, knowing him to be a great Vaishnava. Which rascal has done this? So Gopal Chapala, he caught leprosy. He became severely ill. He had to leave the area and live on the bank of the Ganga. And when Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, was passing, he begged forgiveness. "You're a great personality. Please save me." But the Lord said, "No," he said, "you can go to hell for millions of births for your offenses to Srivas Thakur." So he continued to suffer. It was only later, some years later, when Lord Chaitanya, the first time he set out for Vrindavan, he passed through Kulia, or Navadip, that's the area of Navadip, on his way to Ramakeli. When he came, that's where he delivered Rupa Sanatan, and he came back again. Sanatan advised him, "Don't go to Vrindavan with thousands of followers." You know, naturally, when he went through Navadvip, everyone was overjoyed to see him, and thousands of people began to follow him, and they were taking the dust from the road, and there were potholes in the road, and eventually reached Ramakeli, delivered Rupa Sanatan, but Sanatan advised him it's not good to go to Vrindavan with such a great crowd of persons. It's dangerous. Many Muslim provinces. So Lord went a little further as far as Kanai Natshala, but he was thinking of what Sanatan said and he decided to go back. I'm not sure if it was on the way to Ramakeli, on the way back, that he again encountered Gopal Chapala. Gopal Chapala again begged forgiveness, and this time the Lord advised him, you go to Srivas Thakur, ask him to forgive you. If he forgives you, you'll be relieved from your suffering. And he did it, and he was relieved. So we see how dear the Vaishnavas are to the Lord. When the four Kumaras were entering Vaikuntha, the gatekeeper stopped them, Jai and Vijay. So it was a commotion there at the gates of Vaikuntha. The Lord came to see what's happening, and immediately he apologized to Kumaras and he said, please come inside. He said, I would not hesitate to cut off my arm if it would satisfy the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. So this is how dear the Vaishnavas are to the Lord. Therefore, criticizing the Vaishnavas, blaspheming the Vaishnavas, or criticizing the Lord, minimizing him, as Prabhupada said, to say he has no ears, no eyes, you know, he's just impersonal, this is the greatest offense. And the most auspicious thing to do is to recognize the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how dear his devotees are to him, and therefore always worship the Lord and his devotees with great humility. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Haribol.